They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So we've been looking at the conflict in the Middle East, the current conflict in the Middle East, and asking the question, is this a sign that we're in the end times? And certainly many people believe so, and there's a lot of, you probably have seen a lot of pastors preaching. In fact, you were a pastor, and even if you are a pastor, you might have preached that this is a sign that we are in the end times. So we actually spent 6 weeks going over Matthew 24, where Jesus said that the things that he prophesied about would come to pass in that generation, and they did come to pass in that generation. We either have to believe that Jesus was, that his word is true and that it did come to pass, or really we can throw out a lot of the Bible if we start saying, well, you know, we can't really trust what Jesus said. But Jesus did say that would come to pass in that generation, and that actually did happen within that generation. So that generation did not pass away until that happened. Not one stone was left upon another of that temple. The temple doesn't exist anymore because it was destroyed in AD 70. And so, you know, we don't have to, it doesn't have to be rebuilt so that it can be destroyed again. It was destroyed in fulfillment of the words of Jesus. And Jesus specifically said that all the bloodshed of all the prophets from the foundation of the world would be poured out on that generation. The Roman army killed many Israelites, Jewish people, in AD 70. But still, what we see really, and last week we started actually exploring the real reason that there's conflict in the Middle East, and actually going back and looking, looking at what is happening, and really looking at a passage from Genesis where we see that God made a covenant with Abram. His name wasn't Abraham yet. His name was Abram. God made a covenant with him, and Abram said, "Hey, God, if I found favor in your sight, why don't I have a son? Why is a foreigner, someone that is born in my house, actually going to be my heir? Because I don't have a son." And God took him outside. He showed him the stars, and he said, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of heaven." And remind you or point something out to you. When we go out and look at the stars, many of us are living in areas that are heavily populated. We have electricity. There are lights that are on. And so we don't actually see all of the stars that we could see if it were totally black. So imagine at this time, there was no electricity and very little light. And so Abram saw a lot of stars. God made a covenant with Abram. He had him divide animals, and there was a torch that passed back and forth. And God actually promised that he would bless his descendants. And that was in chapter 15 of Genesis. And then in chapter 16 of Genesis, we see really probably one of the biggest mistakes, certainly the biggest mistake, was Adam and Eve when they sinned. But the next biggest mistake really in the Bible, most likely, is this, what happens in Genesis chapter 16, where Sarai sees that she is barren, And so, and she must have known that God had promised to raise up descendants of Abram, and so she did something that was really a common practice in those days. She took her maid, who was actually an Egyptian, she gave him to Abram as to be a wife and to go into her and to raise up children and offspring. And what actually happened from that is you see that she conceived, and Hagar was despised Sarai, and Sarai actually kicked her out and sent her off, mistreated her and sent her away. And then Hagar is actually crying out to God, and God actually shows up. The Bible says that an angel, the angel of the Lord, an angel there is capitalized, which means that this is Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. He shows up, and in verse 8 of chapter 16, and he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, this is key. Listen to this. This is key really to understanding the conflict in the Middle East, and really a lot of the conflict that we have seen throughout the ages in the Middle East. Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. So you see there that God heard her affliction. And then in verse 12, this is the part to really pay attention to. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So we see here Ishmael actually being a wild man. He's prophesied that he would be a wild man, that he would dwell in the midst of his brethren, but he would be against every man, and every man would be against him. And really, when you look at the current conflict, the Palestinians are actually descendants of Ishmael, and the Muslim nations are descendants of Ishmael. Muhammad was a descendant of Ishmael, but God's promise came through, and we'll read about this today. God's promise came through Isaac, and that is where Jesus came through. Jesus came through the seed of Isaac. So we see here that she did return. But he would, her son would be a wild man. He would dwell in the midst of his brethren, and his hand would be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And so he bore him a son. His name was called Ishmael. And Abram was actually 88 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And then in chapter 17 of Genesis, we go on reading about this. When Abram was 99 years old, so 11 years has passed since Ishmael was born here. Abram is 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Lord God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from you, and kingdoms shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. And I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, so first of all here, this is a pivotal moment. God is telling him that he's going to be the father of many nations. Now, realize that prior to 11 years prior to this, in fact, when God first established his covenant with Abram, Abram had a foreigner who was born in his house. Someone that wasn't his offspring was actually his heir. And yet God says, you're going to be a father of many nations. And in that chapter 15, I believe it was, that he said, your children are going to be as numerous as the stars of heaven. And here he actually says that your name is no longer Abram, it's going to be Abraham. I'm going to establish this covenant, and your children, out of your children, there will be many nations come out of your offspring. And God is here showing him that he is establishing a covenant with him. And by the way, back in chapter 15, we read about this last week, back in chapter 15, what we see is that God did show Abram that his descendants would be slaves in Egypt for a period of time, but in the fourth generation that they would be actually released, and that they would come back and inhabit the Canaan land. And we know that the Israelites, the Jewish people, were slaves in Egypt. And going on here, so God is going on here in verse 8 of chapter 17. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. So he's telling him, you and your descendants shall keep my covenant. And here God establishes a sign of his covenant in verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house, he who is born with your money must be circumcised, or he is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, imagine this. Now, one of the things that's interesting is it's mentioned here, God mentions that this should happen on the eighth day, and it just so happens that human baby boys on the eighth day, that the clotting is at the highest peak there, so that it's the perfect time to actually do a circumcision. And what actually is interesting here, though, we know about circumcision today, and typically you're looking at, of course, today we have surgical centers, and we have scalpels, and we have anesthesia. They didn't have that back then. They couldn't go to the doctor and say, I would need to be circumcised. And of course, Abram was 99 years old at this point. Ishmael, when he was circumcised, was a teenager. So you're looking at, and they were circumcised without scalpels, without anesthesia, that as we would know it at least today. And so they probably had a rock that was sharpened, and they were cutting off the foreskins here. So in verse 15, then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And so this was so ludicrous to Abraham, what God was saying, that he laughed at it. He didn't believe God. And this is something that you'll see that not only Abraham did, but also Sarah did. But at some point, they actually came to believe God. Both of them came to believe God and trust that God would actually fulfill his word. And then in verse 18, "And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." So Abraham is saying, hey, listen, God, we already have this worked out. We've already, we know that you promised that, I would be the father of many nations, and that my children would be kings of nations, and that my children would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. But we have this worked out. You see, we know that Sarai is old, and so we worked this out. Sarai gave me her maidservant, and we have a child through him, and let your blessing be upon him. So he is calling out for God to fulfill his promise through Ishmael. But God says here, then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him." So again, he's saying here that as for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. You see, if God had changed his plan and established his covenant through Ishmael, then you could imagine that the seed of Jesus would have come through Ishmael, as well as the seed of Muhammad, and there would actually be no distinction there. But I can tell you that there is a distinction. The blessing and the covenant comes through Isaac, not through Ishmael. And this is a powerful method of testimony to be able to testify and witness to those who are Muslim, to show them, because you can't show them from the New Testament, but showing them from the Old Testament. You know, in the New Testament, the apostles preached the gospel, not from the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. They preached the gospel from the Old Testament. And Jesus, after his death and resurrection, but before his ascension, showed his disciples and preached to them, showed them from the law, from the Psalms, from the prophets, that Jesus must come, he must die, he must be raised from the dead. So it's important when you're witnessing to someone who is Jewish, the Jewish people, many of them, most of them, don't accept Jesus as their Savior, so they don't accept the New Testament. So it's important to be able to witness from the Old Testament. And it's also important to be able to witness to Muslims, because God loves Muslims also. It's important to be able to witness from the Old Testament as well, and to be able to show them that that Muhammad descended from Ishmael, but the promise and the covenant came through Isaac. So what you actually have is this blessing that comes through Isaac, and so this is really clear and really critical for history and for the gospel. So God is again saying, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I will bless him. And he goes on to say that he will beget 12 princes, and he will make him a great nation. But his covenant he will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at the set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were in his house, and all who were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said. So you see Ishmael being about 11 years old here, and Abraham being 99 years old, and I'm sure that there were many others, servants, the male servants, and the children of the male servants, the male children of the servants, brought them all and circumcised them. Obviously, this took a lot of commitment, and really, this wouldn't be something that you just did lightly. You know, if you did this to an eight day old baby, that baby might cry, but that baby would forget. That baby wouldn't even remember that even happened when the baby got older. Yet for someone that's 99 years old, for someone that's 11, for someone that's maybe 40 or 30 or 20, this would be a very traumatic experience to have to be circumcised, and especially without surgical equipment and without anesthesia. So you realize that Abraham believed God, even though he laughed, even though he doubted, even though he didn't really at first think that it was possible for him to have a son at 99 years old, and for Sarah to bear a son at 90 years old. Even in those days, that was too old to have a child. And so, but God says, this is my covenant is actually going to be through Isaac. And at this time next year, you are going to have a son. Sarah will bear you a son. And then in verse 24, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And I guess Ishmael was a little bit older than he was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So you can imagine at 13 he would have been had already gone through puberty. So I mean, this must have been a very painful situation, but this was done as a sign of the covenant, and this was serious. You didn't do this. You wouldn't do this just to do it. This would be something that you would have to know that this was God that was speaking to you, that was telling you to do this. It's not like just going out and doing something little. I mean, this was a major, major event. And verse 26, that very same day, Abraham also was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in his house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So, again, God is establishing and reestablishing and really enlarging this covenant that he has made with Abraham, changing his name from Abram to Abraham, and letting him know that his covenant is not with Ishmael, his covenant is with Isaac, and that Isaac and also with his descendants, and that Sarah, that God would open her womb even at 90 years old, and she would bear a child. And again, going back into chapter 16, we see that the child, verse 12, he shall be a wild man. This is Ishmael. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in the manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Summertime has its rainy days.